everyone, and thank you very much for attending our 2016 results conference, which, in view of the time of year, we will try to make as brief and speedy as possible. After a 2015 where we decided to breathe and consolidate the integrations of the years 2013 and 14, 2016 could not have been more active, and I would like to highlight three landmarks: the successful IPO of our Dominion project, the publication of the strategic plan for 2016-2020 for the CIE Group, and the return to M&A, both in automation and Dominion, accompanied by magnificent results, results that have been penalized from the EBITDA to net result by 2.1 million euros as a result of the restructuring of Abantia, as you were able to see in the release. However, these results clearly show compliance, and once again we reinforce our commitments to the 2020 strategic plan. Starting with an average organic growth guidance for the period 2016-2020 of 7%, which we complied with in 2016. If the starting point in 2015 was an EBIT margin of 9.3% over sales, and the goal for 2020 was 12%, the EBIT margin in 2016 has already improved up to 9.7%. And another key strategic goal for us, doubling the net results in 2015 and reaching 260 million euros in 2020, which represents an average implicit growth rate of approximately 15% per year. Well, in 2016, net results have already increased by over 25%. And what's more important, of that 25%, hardly anything has been contributed by the inorganic growth, since it has been offset by the financial cost of the debt for its acquisition, a net result which for the first time has exceeded the margin of 5.5% over sales. It's in this context where we launch the new guidance. We bring forward the 260 million euros 1 year to 2019. This represents for the coming 3 years an implicit average growth rate of approximately 20% a year, which isn't bad at all. Moving on to the automation division, and we'll be discussing Dominion later, our automation sales have grown this year by almost 8% compared to the same period last year, a growth which is the result of a mix of various effects. On the one hand, we have a negative effect of minus 1% in the exchange rate, and inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria in the third quarter and Bill Forge in the fourth quarter, which have represented plus 4%, a negative effect of minus 2% because of the repercussion of the reduction in raw material prices on our sales prices, and what's most important, pure organic growth, which in these 12 months accumulates plus 7%, and which has been incremental quarter to quarter, with a plus 4% average in the first semester, but plus 10% on average in the second semester. All this has been obtained in a completely uneven market context with very different situations in the various geographic areas. And we can briefly review this to emphasize the organic and inorganic growth in each area. We have a NAFTA market as a market with a production in growth of plus 2% in 2016, and CIE in the NAFTA market with a 2016 growth of 7% without Forex, including 2% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria and a 5% organic growth. In other words, our organic growth is much higher than the market's. The Brazil market had a production drop in 2016 of 9%, a drop which fortunately has slowed down quarter by quarter and has been positive in the fourth quarter with plus 8%. And CIE in Brazil with a radically different development to that of the market, a growth in 2016 of 15% without Forex, which includes a 6% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria and a pure organic growth of 9%. In other words, our organic growth, again, is much higher than the market's. The European market had a production growth of 3% in 2016, and CIE in Europe had a growth in 2016 of 5% without Forex, which in turn includes a 4% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Tejeria, the effect of the reclassification with Asia by the ACS China legal company, which until 2015 was reported together with its parent company ACS Europe and meant an effect of minus 2%. And we have to remember that this effect will no longer be present in 2017, and an important pure organic growth of 3%. In other words, our organic growth for Europe overall is very much in line with the market. A market in India with a production growth of 10% in 2016, and CIE in India with a growth of 11% without Forex, including a 7% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Buildforge and an organic growth of 4%. It's true that we haven't reached the market yet, but we have changed the trend. We have had two quarters with organic growth, and we're growing a little bit faster each quarter, although the demonetization effect in December has softened our improvement in the last quarter. Finally, a Chinese market with a production growth of 14% in 2016, and CIE in China with a growth in 2016 of 60% without Forex, including the reclassification with Europe mentioned earlier with the ACS China company, which represents an effect of 31%, which will no longer appear in 2017, and a pure organic growth of 29%, with which we very significantly exceed the market thanks to the successful ramp-up of our crankshaft project. And we'll briefly discuss margins, and I would talk about three areas that we report that are absolutely normal, with a NAFTA and Europe that have maintained excellent margins, even with all the inefficiencies derived from the operationally complex environments because of the number of projects under development and industrialization. Asia is progressively improving, both because of the ramp-up of our forging project in China and because of the gradual improvement at our India plants through the new Mahindra CIE CEO. And two areas that have been a little bit more depressed in the last quarter. On the one hand, we have Brazil, which in the fourth quarter carried out its crisis restructuring. And this means people, asset adjustments, stock adjustments, and in 2016 was close to a double-digit EBITDA at a moment where it seems that the market has finally changed its trend, and this should support our operational leverage in 2017. The other slightly depressed area could be Mahindra Europe, where the main achievement has been to obtain a double-digit EBITDA margin in 2016. As you know, the shutdown of GECO and the transfer of low-volume but high-complexity production to other plants brought about a major operating congestion, both in the construction of tooling, approvals, material procurement, production paths. This congestion, in turn, represented difficulties in quality and deliveries and brought about discomfort to many of our customers. With the coming in September of Edmundo Fernandez, we have made great progress, and we believe that we are starting 2017 with more or less normalized commercial relations, although the past problems have represented significant extra costs in 2016, as well as the loss of some other businesses. And referring to the Dominion division, sales on a constant currency basis reflect a growth of 20%, penalized by a negative 3% effect in the exchange rate. The contribution of the acquisitions has been equivalent to a 10% growth, and organic growth has also represented a 10% growth above the 7% goal. Regarding developments of the business in various segments, we can highlight how solution sales already represent more than 42% of total sales versus 38% in 2015, with projects underway mainly in the TNT and energy fields, as well as industrial activities incorporated through CDI. On the service side, it now represents 57%, with projects highlighted in Chile, in Peru, new small contracts in Brazil, when we're starting to see the first signs of recovery. What stands out most in the breakdown by fields of activity is the development of our development in our energy greenfield, which represents 6% of our sales in 2016 versus 2% in 2015, and which is moving forward very positively, with a portfolio of €180 million to be developed in the coming years. Overall, we closed 2016 with a portfolio of €480 million, practically doubling the portfolio we had in 2015. This gives us a very high visibility of medium-term growth and reaffirms our commitment of a 7% annual organic growth. Regarding margins, we have also made a very positive improvement in the organic perimeter, an improvement in the EBITDA margin of half a point, an improvement in the EBITDA margin, that is EBIT without PPA amortization, which has been approximately €3 million, up to 6.5% over sales, which also enables us to ratify our midterm guidance with an 8% EBITDA. We also have to explain that this progress in operating margins in the perimeter has been thinned down by the practically non-existent contribution of acquisitions to the net result, which, however, have had a non-recurrent effect of minus €2.1 million associated to the reorganization of Abundia. During the last quarter, a very positive progress has been made in this Abundia issue, with the renegotiation of some contracts that did not comply with Dominion's profitability requirements, and the integration of the three sections that we divide Abundia into within the various divisions in the business. However, as a direct result of that, it has been necessary to carry out these additional restructurizations, as well as those that were already scheduled, which has led to that amount of minus €2.1 million, which is the total cost of the restructuring, which has been completely realized and paid out in 2016. With all effects included, the net result has been €21.5 million, and this represents a significant growth of 26% compared to results in 2015. We move on to the situation for the group. We've closed 2016 with a net financial debt of €816 million. This represents a DFN EBITDA ratio of 1.86 annualized. In other words, we have a very healthy debt level, and we also have additional margin up to our self-imposed limit of two times net financial debt EBITDA. It's been a complex year in exceptional cash flows, and I'm sure that you'll understand this when you read the annual accounts. But this can be summarized as follows. Starting from the net financial debt in 2015 of €670 million, we have EBITDA financial expenses and paid out taxes. And apart from that, concepts such as the net capex of minus €186 million, which includes a recurrent capex of €109 million and an expansion capex of €77 million. We have CIE dividends and minority shareholder dividends amounting to €50 million, acquisition earnouts from previous years amounting to €100 million, including Century, Ekarpen and Beroa, seven M&A operations in the year with their seven prices paid, and their net financial debt taken on board amounting to €250 million, and the Dominion IPO, which has a net effect on the consolidated balance sheet of €110 million. It has been a year where the earnouts and the year's acquisitions have prevented 2016 from being a debt reduction year, but even so, we have maintained an operating cash generation profile that characterizes. In 2016, we have converted €225 million in operating cash flow, 55% of the EBITDA, much higher than our goal of 50% for the strategic plan. And in spite of the effect of the numerous cash flow integrations, we have maintained the RONA ratio at 16% on the right direction towards the strategic goal of 20%. With regard to the Dominion balance sheet specifically, in 2016 we converted around 65% of the EBITDA into operating cash flow, also above our goal of 60%, and we have closed 2016 with a net cash flow position of €122 million, which, as you know, in the case of Dominion, is a major competitive advantage when it comes to obtaining new projects, and which we will partly spend on additional future M&As. And finally, once again, the goals have been achieved, and we're firmly moving forward towards the strategic targets for 2020. The growth of the company in its two projects, Automotion and Dominion, is superior to market growth, which shows our high level of global competitiveness. the positive development in our earnings year after year, but it shows the strength of our management model based on the profitability of the operations and cash generation as sources to create value. And after this short ad on the CEE management model, we are at your complete disposal for any questions. Thank you. Thank you, Leon. You just broke the statistics. I thought it was going to be the only results conference call where there were going to be no questions because everything was crystal clear. But let's talk about these two issues you mentioned, and starting with the financial debt. I think we've been very clear in the financial plan where we've self-imposed the limit of two times the EBITDA of financial debt, and with the seven acquisitions, we're below that limit. What can we expect in the future? Well, to comply with our self-limit above everything else. Even so, the leap in EBITDA from 2016 to 2017, firstly because of the pure organic growth of CIE and the growth in margins, and secondly because of the annualization of all the integrations, produces a very significant leap in absolute value between the EBITDA in one year and the other. And by maintaining the ratio of two times the debt, this gives us a significant additional debt capacity. Part of this had been used in January. We haven't waited very long with the acquisition of Nucor. And now what we have to do is generate cash if we want to have additional debt capacity for purchases. And regarding Mexico, and without waxing too philosophical on what Mr. Trump might do, but I'd like to remind you through specific data of what CIE is in Mexico and what the automotive sector is in Mexico. 100% of the CIE sales in Mexico at Mexican plants is to Mexican customers. And by this I mean that if we sell to Volkswagen or Nissan, who are some of our main customers over there, we sell to a Mexican company, and we supply in Mexico regardless of the fact that we all know that part of that production is sent to markets like the U.S. market or foreign markets outside NAFTA. From there, and since you brought up the issue of Trump, I'd just like to remind everybody of a couple of figures in the automotive sector in Mexico today. This year, Mexico has produced about 3.5 million vehicles, of which 2 million are for the US, and the other 1.5 million have had a significant internal demand of approximately 700,000 vehicles for NAFTA exports. All the consulting firms and analysts in the automotive sector clearly see something in the future with the over 20 billion in investments made in the last 5 years in Mexico. Mexico today has the capacity to produce 5 million vehicles. We're no longer talking about future investments that Mr. Trump might have an influence on, and they might be carried out in Mexico or elsewhere. We're talking about those investments already made, and those 5 million bring additional good news, and that's the destination of those 5 million vehicles, and 2 million will go to the U.S. In other words, a very similar figure to current exports to the U.S., and the rest will go to internal demand in Mexico, and above all to exports. And I'll finish with this. The good news in Mexico is that its dependence on the US is obvious and it's there, but Mexico has an additional extremely important growth driver, which is the fact that it has become a production and export hub worldwide. All the OEMs have invested there in recent years to turn it into that. So we can't think about a Mexico that is only dependent on American policies. Thank you. Thank you, Ithier. I think that from 2017 we have to expect a very irregular year. Why do I say that? First of all, because in the first quarter we have to continue to feel the demonetization effect. And remember that people think that the demonetization effect occurred in the last quarter of 2016, but that's not true. The demonetization was announced practically in mid-November, after the Diwali holidays in India. So in November, it wasn't a bad month, and where it was really felt was in December, and we will probably continue to feel it during the first quarter of the year, with drops in sales, or at least with a certain effect. From the automotive point of view, perhaps not in other sectors, but in the automotive sector, we believe that these are sales that don't vanish, but are postponed. Today I don't have the cash to pay my vehicle, which is how I usually pay for it, in cash or a large part of it, so I postpone my purchase, but it doesn't go away. So first of all, I would like to highlight that we believe it could be a 2017 with major differences between quarters. And then I would mention something else. Are we going to be on the market? Well, perhaps not as much as that, but will be close in the third and fourth quarter of 2016. We proved that we are already growing organically, and we're growing more and more each quarter. This trend is going to continue. Why? Because, first of all, we have new customers. We have diluted. Do you remember that famous more than 50% of our sales in India depend on Mahindra and Tata? That's no longer the case. It's no longer the case for two reasons. We have included a new company that's called Bilforge, where there's wonderful news in that they bring new customers, both in the four-wheel sector, the passenger vehicle, bring in Maruti Suzuki or Hyundai, and also bringing a new segment, the two-wheel segment with the customer like Giro, Bajaj, TBS, etc., etc. So that has greatly diluted the companies we were dependent on. Are we still dependent on them? Well, partly. It's now around 40% or a bit less in 2017. The second reason why we are less and less dependent on them, but this is not something we're going to see so quickly in the results, is because we're picking up new projects. Right now, we have projects with Renault, with Jaguar Land Rover, with Fiat Chrysler. We have different projects. Why aren't they being seen very significantly yet on the income statement? Well, you know, we're in the automotive statement. In the automotive sector, from the time you sign to the industrialization process starting to the SOP, the ramp-up, until you actually see sales on the income statement, that takes time. We're practically talking about 2 years. So it's work we've been doing, and you'll see a little bit of it in 2017, and especially in 2018. So on the same level as the market? Well, perhaps not, but getting closer and closer, Ithiat. Thank you very much. The next question is from Gonzalo Sanz from Mirabo. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. Could you give us a little update on these 2 months, how things are starting? And could you put a bit more emphasis on the American market as such, because it seems that the inventory levels are very high. It's being said there's a high stock of second-hand cars and leasing, and I just wanted to know how you see the market. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gonzalo, for bringing up an issue that brings very good news, the year 2017. We're starting 2017 with an initial quarter that's looking very good. And it's looking very good because if I had to give a quick headline, I would say that in 2016, and we've discussed this, there have been three geographic areas that have done very well, and two where at the last minute there have been a few problems. So if those three geographic areas continue to do very well, as they are, and the other two, Brazil and Mahindra CIE, start to improve, we're clearly talking about good news. To review them quickly, we're talking about Brazil, where for this year we expect to be talking not about a negative market, but a flat and positive market. So after 3 years, after losing more than 50% of the market, that's great news. It's great news that's going to provide leverage for our markets, and we're going to see double digits in Brazil. NAFTA, where... And I know it's difficult to talk about this because of all the uncertainties, but our view of the first quarter is good, and we have a very good NAFTA, where however much uncertainty there might be right now, the only reality in what's happened is that the weakness of the peso has been very good for us. And right now we don't know whether we'll see any weakness in demand. And you mentioned the peak in demand, and it's true. The United States, this is the headline, the United States is in a peak. But if we talk about NAFTA production, NAFTA production continues to grow, and especially production in Mexico, which is a little bit our growth driver. If we talk about Europe, we're talking about a mature market. We know that. We're talking about a mature market with a growth of approximately 2% in production, but a mature market that is still a great buffer, a mattress that CIE can sleep very comfortably on because we have excellent performance. And then we're talking about Asia, both in India and China, where quarter by quarter we're showing that things are improving, that the operating improvements are there, and that we're doing it right, especially through the change in management at Mahindra CIE. So I would say that 2017 brings some very good news, with the work still to be done of carrying out the integrations, and at Dominion and Automation managing everything we've integrated in 2016 and beginning of 2017. So, very good news. Thank you very much. We have no more questions in this afternoon conference call. I hand the floor back to Lorea Aristizabal. Thank you very much. Well, thank you all very much for being here on such a complicated do for you, and you know that we are at your disposal for anything you might need. Goodbye.